actually, his illustration is, you take your puppy dog and bring him in to preschool. And as you're all enjoying your snack, you give the doggy his food. And then you try to make that doggy share. Ah, the puppy is different than you. Right? Dogs don't tend to share their food. They tend to bite you. Right? Okay? And then you give a simple illustration and about how, you know, I have two little girls who live right next door to me. And unlike the doggy who didn't share just now, those two girls just got back from Italy. And the very next day, they came over to my house, Mrs. Pullen's house, and they knocked on the door, and they held a piece of paper. And on the piece of paper, they had taped on a special Italian chocolate. And they came in, and they said, oh, this is for you. It's your favorite. It's your favorite. I had never had Italian chocolate before. Okay. They didn't know it was my favorite. But you see the joy at giving me something, right, of sharing the Italian candies that they brought back. So that was Brotherly's example of man being different than animals, right? We all know we're made in his image and after his likeness, but a lot of times we don't consider what that really means. So that's part of the thing we'll talk about. Look at that thing right there.
Okay. Well, basically, with the children, you know, we start with the verse in Genesis 1 where we are created in God's image and after his likeness. So we're talking what? You know, you can draw your three circles, but you've got the body, the soul, and the spirit. So when we're talking to the children, especially about animals and anything, there are physical, the body, which is physical. Mm-hmm. There are physical things that we'll talk about. There are things of the soul, like her example just now of sharing. You know, that's a matter of the soul, you know, the heart, the love. But then when we get to the spirit, it's best not to talk to the kids about the spirit. Because, you know, this falls under the line of premature knowledge, which we'll probably be getting into again and again. But basically, the kids do not have any kind of abstract thinking in preschool. Mm-hmm. And so to touch the matter of the spirit at this point is not such a profitable thing. Mm-hmm. So we will.
And we're using these terms for you,
yes,
right now, the body and the soul.
Children.
With kids, it's sharing. Caring about your friend. Mm-hmm. Letting someone else go first. You see, these are all based upon how we were created. You know, if there's some food on the counter and you have three dogs, do they stand in line and wait? No! There is no thought of who goes first, right? Okay. So the reason we contrast really is so incredible. Man is different than animals because in doing that we see what? The preciousness of our humanity. Okay? And that, when we're telling our stories, if that is what you see, the preciousness. You know, I walked across, I live really close to Chapman, and they have these, people pay money and you can put whatever slogans you like there. And there was one saying that people never give anything unless they get something in return. Right. Oh, that's really what that person thought. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh, that's incredible, because God created humanity is not like that at all. God said he gave. Yeah. He gave. It wasn't, I gave because I know there's 5,000 who will receive. Isn't it incredible? God's good giving. He gives the rain and the sun on everyone, right? His good gifts. So We see the preciousness of humanity, of the God-created humanity. And that's what we want little ones to be inspired by. God-created humanity. What kind of people we really are. We really are. Okay, then, by contrasting, there's no need to be negative about animals, though. That's not the purpose. The purpose is not to say, oh, that bad dog can't wait in line. No, no. The purpose is to show the contrast by simple stories. Okay. Then another important phrase Brother Lee uses, he said, learn to use your experiences to share your stories. Okay, and that's why I just told you about the two girls next door. But we often tell about things. So, okay, I'll give you two different ways. This is, a coworker gave this example once, and I love it. You know, his wife, when they were first married, packed him tremendous lunches full of all kinds of goodies. I mean, she didn't skimp on a thing, right? Packed it full. And then one day he went to work, and then he was so hungry, looking forward to lunchtime. And then he put the sack on the car, and he turned around to say hi to someone else. And right when he did that, there was a dog that knew something good was in the sack and jumped up and ate his lunch. That's telling you about the story. Mm-hmm. Now, if you remember this brother sharing, he shared the story. He said when he was first married, his wife would pack his lunch. I mean, oh, there was such good, not just a sandwich. It was the sandwich. Oh, it had everything good in there. Ooh, he loved it. Then after that, and all morning, he just could not wait to see what kind of goodies his wife had given him for lunch. He wasn't having a packed lunch like all the other guys at his work. He was having the deluxe lunch from his wife. And he could not wait to eat everything she had sent. So one afternoon, lunchtime, he goes out and he is going to meet someone and they're going to eat together. So he puts his lunch down on the car and then he sees the person over here. So he turns his back and starts talking to that person. And right then, a big old dog leaps onto the car. There went his lunch. Gone with the dog. Oh, my lunch. Now, if you were there when this brother told the story, he was nearly as animated as I was. You were right there. And he didn't really describe, or if he did, I can't recall. So I didn't tell you that he got the best chocolate cake with dinner. Because, see, I don't know. And I don't remember it enough. So I'm not adding details. But you see the contrast between the first one telling you about, yeah, you get the point. But the second one, you are there. You are as hungry as he is. And then when that big dog comes onto the car and is gone with his lunch, you are as brokenhearted as he is. There it went, right? That is the kind of stories that keep little ones' attention, right? Telling about something doesn't even keep our attention. But using our own experiences to tell stories, tell them the real story of how it happened. They're right there. They are right there. If you are right there, they're right there. Right? So you have to be able to get outside of yourself, you know, and tell stories. Either from your own experience or from others. Okay? Yeah. So that's the contrast. It's easy to tell about a story, and then you just have the moral of this is, you know, don't put your lunch on the car so the dog gets it, right? No. See, then, but that's what we tend to do, tell about something, and then we kind of give a subject lesson. Instead of getting in there, telling our real stories, having the kids write with us, and then they'll see the contrast. And the brother's point was, you know, there's a lot of points, but I would have gone on with this and saying, my friend was so brokenhearted, so brokenhearted. There was his fantastic lunch from his wife that she had spent such a long time making, and there it was, off in the dog's mouth, gone. Oh, he was so sorry he left that lunch on the car, and now the dog had it. He yelled after that dog, hey, don't do that! Do you think that dog was sorry at all? No way! That dog was glad there was something there for him. See? So there's a lot of matters you can touch in stories. Right? The stories about being sorry inside. So with the matter of the physical attributes or physical things that you can contrast, some easy ones, you can think of others. Some easy ones are taste buds. Right? You want to put, now, if you want to take notes, you're fine, or you can just take a picture, okay, afterwards. Taste buds, you know, most animals gulp down their food. Mm-hmm. On the way here, I was thinking of all the animals, dolphins, sea lions, haven't we all seen them somewhere? So it's an easy about how you were there, and then another setting, you had this fantastic snickerdoodle cookie. It was like that. Mm-hmm. Your favorite kind, snickerdoodle. And you just took off a little piece. I just took off a little piece. That's so good. Okay. Whereas a dog just wolfs it down. Why do I savor it? I'm glad I have taste buds that can taste those great snickerdoodle cookies. I'm glad God made my tongue this way. Mm-hmm. Right. There's another one. With our arms, what do we do with our arms? Okay. Hug. We warmly greet others, right? Depending on your culture. To shake a hand is to what? To warmly greet someone. Mm-hmm. Or when you give your grandma a hug, it's to warmly greet her, isn't it? So we do all kinds of things with our arms. These are just some ideas. There's all types of physical attributes, you know, that we can use. We stand upright. We stand upright. We have four limbs, but we stand upright. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right? Then we... Oh, yeah. Patty, what can we do with our hands?
Hold out your hands, aren't they wonderful? So many things that your hands can do. Catch a ball, open a can, peel an orange too, throw and kiss.
Clap.
Clap. Zip and snap and wave to you.
Okay. So, just how our hands are created, so different than a paw. What's a paw good for? Scratching the dirt. Nothing wrong with it, but there's a good contrast. We are wonderfully made. Wonderfully made. Physical attributes. Okay, then there's easy virtues, which is, you know, the soul. One of the easiest ones is sharing. Sharing. Right? And I'll tell you a little story about that. Sharing. I borrow stories when I hear them. There's a friend of mine, she had three dogs. And they played together all the time. They were great at playing together. But when it came time to eat, they fed one dog inside, one dog on the outside next to the garage, and the other dog was way in the backyard being fed. Because that was the only way they could get three dogs fed. If they tried just putting three bowls out, the biggest dog would always come, woof down his and make the other stand back so he could finish off
the two other bowls of food.
Oh, yeah. They played together really nice, but they were never going to share their food. No. Then I know another friend, and her grandmother grew up in another country. And her grandmother only came to see her once a year. And there was a very special candy her grandmother made in her country. Because they had a plant we can't even find here in California. You cannot find that plant anywhere in California. So her grandmother would make it in her own country. She would make a block just about that big for the whole family. It was a lot of work for Grandma to bring this candy up with her. And then every time Grandma came, Grandma would slice it into 8 pieces because there were 8 family members. So you only got, see if I can do this here. That's okay. You only got this section. That was yours, that's it. Well, my friend, when she was in third grade, her grandma came. And she had 3 very good friends. Oh, they played together all the time. And she really wanted her friends to taste this special candy. So when she got her piece, she cut it into 4 pieces. 3 friends plus 1. And she invited her 3 friends over, and she gave them each their little piece. And together, they enjoyed that candy together. Wow. Didn't God make us in such a wonderful way? We can share with others. And how was that little girl feeling when she shared her candy? Happy. That's right. She's happy. It makes us happy. Yeah, so this morning, we can all be happy, and we can share something with someone else this morning. Okay, sharing, really easy. Both of those stories are not mine. I've heard them, and they're so great, I've remembered and retold them. Okay? But I don't add details that I don't know. So the details I did share with you are details I really know. Like, I don't know what kind of plant she used, but I know you can't find it here. See? It was that special of a treat. Okay.
And besides, you know, with sharing, we always think of the physical things, the candy, the cake, the whatever. But there are so many other things that we can share. At one time we had three dogs between my 2 daughters. And so when they would come for a visit, May, Pinky, and Leather were all there. Well, if you put the food out, the 3 of them came together. They fought over this food like crazy. And so then you would have to do like Elaine said, you would separate them. And they never, in all their years together, ever shared food. Or even space. If someone got in Pinky's space, she was after him. Come on! I was talking to one of the young trainees one day, and she was telling us that when she was young, her parents had to go away, and she got left for, I think it might have been close to a month, with another family, and it happened to be the family of her best friend, and she just felt so lonely and everything. But one day, her friend came to her, and she said, I'm going to share my parents with you. So she took this aspect of sharing to where it went beyond, you know, it went beyond sharing a piece of candy or something physical. It was where you were actually sharing something of concern, care, something that belonged to you in a very intimate way, you know, and even for this trainee to share this story with me, she was sharing her memory of what happened. So when we get into the realm of sharing, it's a huge, huge area. Mm-hmm. And so you could go on, you know, don't think, oh, what am I going to talk about? I can't keep them occupied week after week after week. Yet you have a whole lifetime full of memories and stories to tell. We just need to learn how to pay attention to what we're doing in life.
And if you covered sharing 2 weeks ago, you don't think you can cover it again?
Yeah.
With a different story, a different way? Oh, you can. You can cover it every other week and they won't get bored with it. Because you're sharing from your stories, you're not telling them, be good, be a good kid and share, be a good kid and share, be a good kid and share. Right? You're showing them through the difference of man and animals, the sharing. I think, of course, when Brother Lee said this, I don't know what year. Do you remember, Ted, what year that was?
Said what?
That we should teach our kids man is different than animals.
1960s.
Okay, there we go, 67. So, at that time, our culture was not what it is today.
Right.
But today's culture has been to drop man lower and lower and lower and lower and lower.
Mm-hmm.
So that we, you know, as a society, have dropped well below the plane of animals, beasts in some areas, right? Somebody commented to me how this is really necessary because we're even scientifically now likened to animals. Sorry, I'm a person. I'm not an animal, you know. Don't put me down at that level. I'm not.
Yeah. One night at our home meeting, one of the third graders told me that I was a mammal like a dolphin. Oh, so they're, you know, they're teaching you now.
Yeah, there's man and there's dolphins. We're just the same, you see. So it's a very striking point, the subtlety of the devil to bring humanity to such a low level of life. Okay, another one, being kind. These are all simple ideas, being kind. In words and in action, being kind, being helpful, right? Having manners. We often think of table manners, things like that, but I use the illustration of letting someone go first. To me, that is a manner of respect. If you hold the door open for someone else, it shows that you're not a selfish person. But how many times in our society does someone hold the door open for you? Right? Okay. So there's so many. We can't list them all. But once you get together with your group and fellowship, you'll just see everyday occurrences. Someone holds the door open for you versus, you know, you're feeding the ducks at the park. And you go like that. Do they all wait? You're feeding the fish at the pool. We have a lot of experiences that we can share with the kids about that they see the contrast and how precious our humanity is. How precious that we can open the door out of respect, even though you don't use that word. But I'll tell you my story. One day I was walking up into a certain building and there was because Mrs. Fullen is on the old side, right? So there was a young guy coming next to me, and I was walking, I wasn't thinking anything about him, and then he zipped right in front of me, and he goes like this. And I said, "Why, thank you very much." And then I went in, and then he followed me through the door. And as I was walking, I thought, I wonder if he just did that because I'm an old lady. He doesn't think I can pull the door open or not. No, you know, right? But I also had another thought. Probably when he was growing up, his folks said to him, "You should get that door for Aunt Tilly. Open the door for Uncle Don. He's right there. Da-da-da, let your grandmother out. Open the door for her." So he learned, probably, you know, in his family, that to open a door from someone was to show your respect. Not to show you respect for them. So even though that young man didn't know me, he just zoomed in front to open the door out of respect for me. Isn't that nice? So nice. Yeah, wow, so nice. But have you ever tried to put ducks into a line? You're feeding them up, you're feeding them right, you're feeding them, and you only want one to come through at a time, right? Only one to come up. You start showing what you have in your hand, and suddenly what happens? All those ducks, right? All at the same time, all at the same time. Right? No one waits, none of those ducks waits for the other duck. Not one will wait. So manners are all over the faces. Another one we put down was asking for something instead of taking it. That's really an obvious one, isn't it? Yeah. Language. Mm-hmm. Language. Animals have communication, but scientifically, animals do not have language. Yeah, and that's in the books, even if you go to college and take, what's that class?
Oh,
Yeah, that's it. What's say it again?
Linguistics.
Yeah, linguistics class. Nearly the first or second page in the book tells you that only humans have language. All right.
You know, I live down by the circle in Orange, and one day I was down in the circle, and I heard all this. And I think they have them here in Anaheim, too. They're green parrots.
Oh, yeah.
And they are so noisy. And so I went online and I looked up because I, you know, when you're doing the preschool class, you've got to just talk about the things that interest you. I mean, I wanted to know what in the world is the story on these green parrots and why are they there and what's going on. And anyway, I found out in doing it, I found out a lot of interesting things about the green parrots, but I found out that is their communication. And they make that noise because their preference is to stay together, and so they make that noise so that the others will know where they are. Well, I'm so glad that I have a voice, and when I'm happy, I can sound happy. When I'm sad, you can hear it in my voice. When I'm angry, you'll know it, because my voice tends to elevate a little bit. So it goes beyond communication to language, to the ability to say something, either how you feel or to give information or whatever. So this is precious, that we can allow others to know what we're thinking.
And on the adult level, of course, we have language because he's the Word. And the Word is God expressed and God explained. That's why we have language, right? But animals don't, of course. It's logical for us. What to do with preschoolers on this level? Language is great. You look around, we have a lot of different saints with different languages. Okay, so if, what do you go by, Isha, in preschool or in when you're with the kids? Yeah, what's your title or what?
Oh, wow. Yes, Mrs. Quiñones.
Okay. So, Mrs. Quiñones, if I was serving with her, I could tell the kids. Mrs. Quiñones was not born in California. Okay, she was not born here. She was born on an island very close to the United States, but it's on the other side of the United States. And in that island, she grew up speaking Espanol. Right? Espanol. What's that? Spanish. Then we could have Mrs. Quiñones speak a little bit, basic Spanish. Right. And say, Mrs. Quiñones, did you have a dog or a cat close by?
I had a dog.
Oh, you had a dog. Okay, and what did your dog say?
Ollie.
Oh, that's right. All right. Okay, and then we'll come over here and we'll say, do you have a doggie who lives close to you? Oh, and what's your doggie say?
Woof.
In California, the doggie says, woof, woof. And in the island, far away from here, the doggie says, woof, woof, woof. Right. And you know, if you lived, where did you live? Your family is from?
Indonesia.
Oh, listen, that is really far away from California, okay? Really far away. Did you have doggies in Indonesia?
Are you sure?
Yeah, and what did the doggies say there?
Woof, woof.
But what language did you learn in Indonesia? Can you speak it for us?
Sure, Indonesia. What? Saya cinta Tuhan Yesus.
See? Look at that. But the doggie in Indonesia said what? Woof, woof. And the doggie in California says? Woof, woof, woof. And the doggie in Puerto Rico says? Woof, 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 woof. Right. But if you were born in Indonesia, wow, we'll have to have Andy today to teach us a few words in Indonesia. Right? Yeah, so we can learn that language. Wow, great. We can learn a few words in Indonesian today, and then we can go home and say, Mom, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. So, what is that? Indonesian. I bet she's never even heard Indonesian before, right? That's the way you got to talk to kids, see? About what? Language. Of course, I'm just in awe that we have language. It's just marvelous how God made us. Okay, ingenuity. This is a big category. And actually, we got this one from, it's a famous quote from Abraham Lincoln. Yeah. I was thumbing through one of my dad's books years ago. This one stuck. Ingenuity. Man has ingenuity. He talks about beavers. He said, you can go back in time 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, and beavers, of course, have your picture of the beavers. Beavers always build their lodges just like this. This is a beaver lodge. And if we could ask your mom, your grandma, your great-grandma, your great-great-great, and keep going back all the way, you know what? If they had a way to show us a picture, they would say, that's a beaver's lodge, all right. That's what it looks like. Beavers make lodges just like that. Wow. But when the early, let's see, when first people came to California, when there was hardly anyone living here, that's a long time ago, what were those houses made out? Sometimes they made their houses out of skins. Sometimes they took the trees and made them out of wood. Other times they mixed up this gooky stuff like mud. Yeah, and then they would plaster it onto the wood. Other times they used some muddy stuff and they made bricks. Okay. But you have to have pictures of all this. But that was Abraham Lincoln's quote. He said, but man has lived in many different places and used many different materials. I'd never considered it before. When the United States was a territory, you know, wilderness, they used sod. If you grew up in the U.S., you saw pictures of sod houses. I never thought that that was man's ingenuity. But in that area of the country, there were no trees, none. So they actually cut the sod to make their houses. And you could even go further, you know. You can go up to Alaska and live where it's freezing, or anywhere where it's freezing. We can today. Mm-hmm. Why? We're ingenious. That's not a preschool word, all right? But look, man can even go up and live in the space station today. How does he do that?
You know, this goes along with experience, personal experiences. One day I was washing, hosing the house down, and I knocked a wasp's nest down. And it was an abandoned wasp's nest. But I was just amazed. You know that mathematically, they make exact hexagons connecting to one another to build their nest. I mean, to me, it's a mathematical, you know, even here. Are mine equal distance? No, those are very poor hexagons. And you think, oh, that's a miracle. That's amazing. They must be math experts. But do you know what? They were made to produce one kind of nest. And they will make that nest forever. You know, your little preschoolers, you throw out some chairs and a few blankets, and you're going to have three or four different kinds of forks by the time it's through, you know? Because they have ingenuity. You know, this appears to be very ingenious. I mean, it amazed me when I saw it that they were so exact. And yet, that's the only thing they do. Mm-hmm. They're programmed to only make one kind of a house. See? And kids can build a fort. Don't you love that? Yeah. Of course, if I have 20 preschoolers, I probably am going to divide the room and have some kind of an accordion thing so they can't see, and have this side build the forts. This side do something else. I don't know, 20 of them. Yeah.
But you can see the point gets across. You know, you can do these kind of simple activities with them. Okay, then ingenuity. Oh, another big is creativity. Creativity, which is also a huge. Yeah. Oh, ingenuity and creativity. You can use. Food really goes more with ingenuity, but this is an easy one. We've heard a lot of stories. You know, you can go to the zoo and you can see that the animal is taking, they have grapes and cut apples and bananas, you know, in their tray. You can see them eating that. If you come back tomorrow, they have exactly the same thing again and again. So you can just talk about a story that has animals eating the same thing again and again. It's really easy. Or you've gone by and you've seen cows and sheep. Grass today, grass tomorrow, grass next week, right? Grass, 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 grass. Okay. But if you bring some apples to Mrs. Patty's house, woo, what might we get?
Mm-hmm. Apple pie.
Sure, apple pie. Apple sauce, apple sticks with peanut butter. You can make all kinds of things, right? Ingenuity, ingenuity. Right. The sheep never have changed. Grass, grass, and more grass. That's it, it's grass. You give me an apple today, I'll eat it one way, an apple tomorrow, another way. By the end of the week, I'll come up with all kinds of solutions to eat that apple. Right? Ingenuity. Okay, creativity. If you look that up in the dictionary, it says something about expression. It doesn't have to have any usefulness, kind of. So. But we do it all the time. Right? Even if we're not good. Doodling. Who doodles? Yeah. who makes little pictures of things on their paper? Adults, yeah. Something about expression makes our heart happy. It makes our heart happy. It doesn't have to be put up on the refrigerator. Sometimes they are. But the things we create make us happy. Why does a kid take the same set of Legos and over again redoes a tower, a building, a this or that? Something about being creative makes them very happy. It must be God is creative. Huh? Mm-hmm. It must make him happy to create the universe.
Our grandson is always wanting the newest Lego kit. You know, okay, now we're into the city. So he wants the fire truck. So we get him the fire truck, and we come home, and we follow the instructions exactly. We build the fire truck. Well, and then an hour later, the fire truck has become something else altogether. He takes, and it may never be a fire truck again. It goes in the box, and you don't know what he's going to turn it into next. But it's just wonderful to watch, to see what those kids do.
And contrast, yeah, contrast. You know, that if you give a dog a ball, or the ones that play frisbee with the dogs, you know, if you play frisbee with the dog's going to jump up and catch it, 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 jump up and catch it. But that dog is never going to take the frisbee and do something else. Unless you try to train him to take the frisbee and throw it to the next object, right? But out of frisbee alone, people have created ultimate frisbee. You don't know the game anyway. It's not just tossing the little frisbee back and forth. It's much more creative. See? So, yeah, even in things, or if you give a dog a ball, or a cat, a spool of yarn, what are they going to do?
Chew it.
Yeah. But you can now, preschools, probably this is too much for preschool, but you can do simple finger weaving now with a piece of yarn. And they have the technique. Right? On YouTube. Yeah. And by the end, then they slip it off and they do it more. And slip it off, and you can do a scarf. You're just like amazing creativity, what you can do with a string. But you give the string to the cat, and chew it up where he's going to push the ball. Right? There's nothing more. Nothing more. Okay, then, of course, playing instruments, all those kind of things are pretty easy as far as creativity. We know right from wrong. Now, a lot of people credit their animal for knowing right from wrong. That animal knew you scolded him because he knows the difference in your harsh voice. As that dog jumped up and he turned, and the brother turned around and said, "Give me that lunch back!" That animal knew the tone difference. All right? Oh, that animal didn't know what he did was wrong. No, that's a whole different level. But little ones know what's wrong. Even, you know you have them. Even littlest, they'll come and look and then go. Why do they look? Because they know it's wrong. Right? So we know it, even as little ones. Right? We know.
Yeah. And even on the matter of right and wrong, I think in the church life we've been pretty clear on the right and wrong thing, and we always emphasize this, but we emphasize it in a legal way. You know, there are ways to express this without, you know, saying this is right, that is wrong. Maybe you could think of a better example, but
crossing the street. What example have you got?
don't have one.
Oh, okay. You know, we know, okay, you may say because you've been told, but even if you don't tell a kid will go across and the cars, right, and then we usually stop. Now you say that, well, the child's been told to stop. That's good. But you've told the dog to stop too. But if you're both going up there, the dog will just as likely run across the street, right? But we will likely stop because of traffic. So I've never told this one with a story, but I'm sure if you think about it, you can find incidences where, for safety, for other things, animals are clueless that it's wrong. Not moral issues, safety issues, right and wrong. Stealing, that's a moral issue. Right? Or doing something you know you're not supposed to. But I've never told one. See? New ground for y'all. Okay, and then the last one we put down, these are just ones being thankful. Mm-hmm. Being thankful. Uh-huh. And thankfulness on a basic level, of course you say dogs are thankful. Well, they are. They're glad their stomach is full. But that's to me a base level, you know, of what it means to be thankful. To be thankful means you show gratitude, right, in some way. And we try to teach our kids to show gratitude, but we often do it, and they often do it on their own without prompting, right? Have you done one for thankfulness?
Well, somewhat. My daughter, she went when she moved to New York, she left her dog with us. And that dog had always been her dog. Pinky was Lisa's dog. Well, then she moves away, and Pinky became our dog, mm-hmm. in our mind. In Lisa's mind, Pinky still belonged to her. And when she would come home every 6 months or so, she would get so upset that Pinky didn't like her anymore. That Pinky wasn't thankful to her. Pinky didn't want to be with her because, you know where Pinky got her food from? Us. So all of her affection, all of her thankfulness was to us. She knew if she was hungry, she would come to us. Well,
yeah, I've never used that one with kids either, but it is an illustration.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thankful.
So there are just so, you could go on, and a lot of it is just, you know, this the matter of caring, teaching the kids to care is, you know, is, it can be so simple, you know. We again, I found a green iguana out in our backyard that did not belong to us. And we didn't even know what it was. Mike and I had to go on the internet, look it up, find out what it was. And so I said, I gotta have it for children's meeting. Because we're, in Orange, we're doing creation because we're trying to train our young people to serve. And so God's creation, the wonders of God's creation seems very good. But so I said, I gotta have that iguana for children's meeting. And Mike says, I gotta go to work. It's all yours. So I used my ingenuity and I got our pool net and that iguana crawled in the pool net. And so then I got out we had an empty aquarium. And I put it in the aquarium. And I was so happy, I'm going to take this to children's meeting. And then all of a sudden I realized, uh-oh, what am I going to do with this thing until then? So I went on the internet and found out ways to take, what you need to do to take care of this. I found out what it ate. I found out it needed something to perch on, so I might cut a log off of a tree for me, and we put that in there and all of this, just so I could have it for one children's meeting. Well, then I got to the part about it grows, and it grows, and it grows up to 6 feet. And you need to have your own room for it in the house.
No, thank you.
But I tell you, I had the best time with the kids that week because, first of all, you know, the story. You know, the story itself of what I found. But then it was, okay, you guys, so now what do you think I needed to do this week to keep this thing alive so that we could be having it today?
Right.
It was wonderful. Those kids, they said, did you have to feed it. I think it eats ants. No, it doesn't eat ants. But, I mean, it all of the kids jumped right in.
Right.
They all jumped right in, and they wanted to figure out how could they take care of this iguana. And I said, okay, you guys. So when I got to the part about the 6 feet, you know, we measured out how big 6 feet was. And I said, do you think I'm going to keep this thing when it gets to be 6 feet? And they said no. And so I said, what do you think I should do with it? And you know, those kids came up with the best ideas of what I should do, that I should ask and see if I have any friends that want one. I should go to the pound. I should I should go online and see if there's a reptile rescue, which I will let you know there is. But they wouldn't come because you have to go through the animal shelter first. And finally, the animal shelter came out, and they actually came to my house and picked it up and everything. And so, but anyway, it was so good because the kids had to figure out, how do you care for something that has been abandoned like that? So, you know, on the one hand, we were talking about God's creation, the beautiful colors, the things they have underneath that they blow up when they get mad, and how they whip their tail if they don't like you. And, you know, yes, those are wow things that have to do with creation. But also we were able to put in something about caring.
Mm-hmm.
So you really just have to start paying attention to what happens in your daily life. Because you guys are thinking there. I know you're sitting there thinking, but I don't have any good stories. And I will guarantee you, you're filled with stories. When we do this with the trainees, you know, at first it's, you know, they're sitting in their baby blue skirts and their white blouses, and they look so perfect. Oh, no, I never did anything wrong. I don't know what I could talk about. And then the next thing you know, once they get going, oh, they're telling the best stories, the very best stories. So it's just a matter of starting to think differently about what happens in your day. You know, they would tell stories about waiting in line in the cafeteria that got you so interested that, there I was, and they were having my favorite meal that day, and I was counting the pieces on the tray, and I was counting how many people back I was, and would there be enough for me? Should I go cut in line? Should I stay where I was? You know, even in the training, there are a wealth of stories you can find. So it's just kind of
a different view, how to view all the ordinary, like the letting someone else go first never occurred to me until that incident. And I thought, wow, that's a fantastic, you know, point of manners. One thing we didn't ask you brothers about is, you know, Brother Lee said it's best to bring the dog, the cat. I have brought turtles. I borrow them, you know. But we don't have all of those things. Pictures we don't have. Now, I have used clips, you know, clips of different animals to show the behavior. But we did not check with you brothers from the church in Anaheim what your feeling is. But you can find pictures of anything, you know, you want. Right. I have a great story about hummingbirds because I have a hummingbird feeder. There's a certain kind of hummingbird in California that does not share. He'll sit on the line and watch. And if another hummingbird comes anywhere close, yeah, you see? So, and there's all kinds, but that's, you know, something to fellowship here. But if you can, like when I've done my story about the hummingbird, I actually bring my feeder in to show them what a feeder looks like and things like that, you know, so that there's, it's not just words, but there are pictures. We didn't do that with y'all tonight because you have good imaginations. But when we were children, we do bring all those helps, right? Helps.
When we did cows in children's meeting, I had made, I did it with the trainees too, but I had made cheese dreams for breakfast that morning. And I was thinking of all the things that a cow had to do with my breakfast that morning. And so I brought an English muffin and set it out and talked about that. And then you put a slice of tomato, and then you put a couple of pieces of bacon. Where does bacon come from? From cows.
Bacon.
Yeah, there's beef bacon. There we go. And then on top you put a piece of cheese. Where does cheese come from? And you melt it. Oh, they're so good. And then I had a container of yogurt. Comes from? That's right. And I had a glass of milk. What does that come from?
Cow.
Right. All those things come from a cow. Yet what does a cow eat?
Grass.
Right. All those things. But it takes man's ingenuity to use the things that come from that cow. A cow does not turn itself into bacon, right? A cow does not make cheese. It does not, you know, give its milk and then start churning. No man thought of that. But so I brought the visuals. So I had a glass of milk sitting there. I had a yogurt sitting. So, you know, thinking of visuals, you know, there are many ways. Actually, I brought the wasp's nest. The week we talked about that, I saved it, and they had a wonderful time with that. So there are many ways. So. Yeah,
that's it for us, huh?
Yeah. That erased too much. Okay, thank you, sisters. Okay. Here's the point. Let's talk about that iguana. So iguanas are what color?
Green.
And they can grow how long?
6 feet.
No. At least. So these tiles are these 12-inch, Mike, or 18s?
I think they're closer to 18.
Okay, 18. So how many tiles do we need for 6 feet?
Four.
Mm-hmm. So that iguana, from here to here. Right?
How would you like to be a green iguana like that big? Would you like that in the room?
Not me. Okay, that's a science lesson. That's not what we're talking about. That's a science lesson. You want to teach science? That's okay. We're not anti-science. But that's what we've been doing in the church in Anaheim. It's not sinful, it's not immoral, it's not idolatrous. It's okay. But it's what we want to realize, that's where we're leaving to a degree. Okay. I say to a degree because the transition is going to be as fast as you can turn the Queen Mary, because it takes time. Who here serves pre-K? One? Felix, I'm good.
Two,
sister? Three? Three out of 27 people, so he's an interesting audience.
No, many will pull up.
So, you know, the point is we've been doing the wonders of creation, so to speak, right? You pick up the pictures of the eagles, the wingspan, what they eat, and it's not wrong. But the church in Anaheim, having had picked up the burden of trying its best to closely follow the ministry of the age, has labored for the last 10 years, ever since District 3 began, and we ran into the wall with what to do with the children in District 3. Who's here in District 3? Who was here? Who was in the beginning of District 3? Mike? When did you start District 3 meeting there? What year was that? 04? 05?
I think so, 04 or 05.
So here's... Close. Now these saints are in orange, right? Mike, Patty, Elaine, they're all in District 3 from the beginning.
Right.
And you ran into a wall. What do you do with half as many children? Right?
Right.
This is church history.
Right.
Right, short history.
Different ages.
They grab my hand. I want to serve the offering. They say, no, Andy, you serve the children.
So now you've got fewer children, so you can't do all these levels like we do here in Districts 1 and 2.
District 5, too. Same.
Yeah.
It started with 3.
But let's not leave the topic. Because District 5 learned how to do District 5 by having the experience of District 3.
Yeah.
Which is a one classroom type setting, because you have only so many children, and so you can't have all these levels, right? So now you get District 4 is the same, right, Isha? You can't have room. So, point. Okay. So we ran into the situation. What do we do? You put that on one hand, less kids, and then you have the ministry of the age. They came together. They came together. The burden, the realization, and the opportunity. Hence the stories. Right? Hence the stories. They began in District 3. And they used them in District 3 for at least a year. 2 years. At least 2 years. And we're over here in Districts 1 and 2. I was in District 2 at that time. And as we're serving with the children, and as we were going forward together in the meetings of the children, we thought, well, let's consider bringing the storytelling over to, what was it, Green? The first and second grade? We brought it to one level first. We just brought it to one level in the beginning over here. Then we test drove that over here. Okay. So eventually we brought it to all the levels. And we just use it, and we ask the saints who are serving to use it age appropriate, right? Tweak it as needed to make it age appropriate. Which exposes us a little bit, because Brother Lee's fellowship is 3 levels, mm-hmm. right? So we haven't arrived, but we're in
process.
Yeah, we're in route, right?
Still mixing.
Right, we're being. So, okay, why do I say all that? Okay, today, Tom, 10 years after the inception of District 3. And the burden to bring in the stories to consider much more the character and the proper humanity of the children. That's why you enjoy the story so much. You get these packets, there was a pre-packet Arab. Right? There was a pre-packet time. But now the servants have these story packets, and we realize now, and I will take the blame for this, in a sense, the blame, I guess, but we realize today, saints, that we have to backdrop and revisit what are doing with the pre-K. We haven't lost or destroyed any of them. We haven't committed, you know, serious, egregious offenses against them. I don't think we've lost any of them, so to speak. But we need to do due diligence to all ages.
Amen.
And this phrase, the preciousness, we just, at best, are in the helicopter looking at the tip of the iceberg. We haven't even stepped on the tip of the iceberg. Right? Don't you believe? How precious is humanity, Tom? How precious is humanity? All the things you've gone through. Listen, Trixie, my dog, bit my thumb. Because I messed with that dog while Trixie was eating. You know, there is no story like your story.
Yeah.
There is no story, and everybody's got nothing but a pocket. You have a lot of stories. But they have to be applicable. Right? They have to be applicable. It's so precious that we can do these things. God made us this way. So, I just feel it's as big as the change was in bringing in the story, so is this. It's a paradigm shift. Inwardly, it's a paradigm shift. Our thinking, we have to put on another set of glasses. You know, outwardly, it's not going to... That iguana is still 6 feet long, and he's still green, and he still eats this, and he still does... But in addition to that, that iguana probably doesn't even know you're caring for it.
Right.
It doesn't have a clue that you are laboring to create a habitat for it to survive. But we care. We have a caring heart. So this is what has to come out. We hear when someone cries, Mommy. Why? Because this is the way God made man. Again, we don't want to be religious. We don't want to be... implanting premature knowledge, but we want to learn how to bring this into the pre-K. And Renan didn't mention this, he forgot, but those serving with the pre-K, as you move into this preciousness of humanity, You're serving pre-K. You have a long road in the children's meetings. You got pre-K, then K, then first, second. So this is a great proving ground to begin how to share a story of your experience that's applicable, right? How to roll the story out. You know, Trixie bit me. I can show you my scar today. That happened a long time ago. I was just petting Trixie. Okay. You know, It's not just stories when you were four. I was in a restaurant last week, and I wanted something not on the menu. Now, this story may or may not be applicable to four-year-olds, but it's my story. And when you have your stories, what happened in the restaurant was I asked for something not on the menu, and they worked it out, and he said, well, it's going to cost this much. And what it was a bowl of pasta. I wanted a bowl of pasta with my fish. So it's going to cost this. So anyways, it was good. I ate it. More pasta than I could eat, but anyway. And then he brought the check. And I looked at the check, and the pasta wasn't on the check. So, you know, you have all kinds of age levels. This could be true, right? And all kinds of points you can bring. So he came back to the table, and I said, pasta's not on. And then he explained, well, I didn't want to get my manager to re-ring it. It was 50 cents. Then he came back and he said, thank you for your honesty. Now, did he see a God man? To his thinking, probably not. But he did see honesty. Mm-hmm. Right. Am I always that way? Well. Right, we're in route, right? We're in route. So we have the stories. We need the glasses. We need the realizations that all ages have this preciousness that we need to cultivate. We need to set our thinking. Again, I'm so happy that 10 years ago we had this situation that the Lord just sovereignly arranged. Today you go online, thanks to the serving ones, and you can sing I don't know how many songs and read how many stories that are now online. We've come a distance. The last 10 years. And I think, to me, from my perspective, this is as significant. It's a smaller population, but look what age you're reaching down to. Look at, you know, you're talking, they've been alive for 3 or 4 years. All the days before them to be vessels made useful. So that's what we're doing. All right. Okay.